morning found me itching to get on over to my grandma's kitchen.
What you gonna do, honey?
The sweetest little berries was cooking up right. And then we put them in a canning jar and seal them up tight. We were making jam.
What kind?
Strawberry jam, that's what kind.
Oh, the good kind.
Yeah, if you want the best jam, you got to make your own. We have Smucker's, Welch's, Knott's Berry Farm, but a little homemade jam never did a body no harm. A little local motion is all we really need to close down these corporate jam factories. We'll be making jam. Strawberry jam. If you want the best jam, you got to make your own. Make that jam, Doc. Show 'em how it's done.
Good morning, everyone, out in KBOO land. That was Michelle Schacht with Strawberry Jam. And I'm Marlene Howell with another in the occasional show called Let's Just Talk, where you are the guest if you call 503-231-8187. Now, today I do have a topic I would like us to chat about, and that topic is what's your adventure. So let me start with giving you a little bit of background about this question, what's your adventure. Antarctic and Arctic explorers Anne Bancroft and Liv Arneson, the first women who had a trek across Antarctica a number of years ago, and they are both school teachers. Now, when Anne Bancroft visits schools in the Minnesota area where she's from, of course, she talks about her adventures in being an explorer. And then she asks the school children this question, what's your adventure? And she goes on to tell them that when she was a kid, she had always wanted to do Arctic or Antarctic exploration. And as she grew up, she found that there were a lot of obstacles in her path to being able to achieve that dream, to being able to make that adventure her reality. And one of the main obstacles in her path was the fact that she was a girl, she was a woman. People didn't think she could do it because women hadn't done it in the way that she was talking about doing it. Certainly, women from the lower 48 hadn't done it in the way that she was talking about doing it. So a lot of what she had to overcome was were obstacles focused in sexism, the politics of sexism. So she encourages school children to start with thinking of what is their adventure, and then she goes on to encourage them to not let anything, political or otherwise, diminish their desire to make that adventure really happen. So my question to you today out there in KBOO land is, what is your adventure? What is it that drives you? What is it that is in your dreams? What is it that would give you that kind of deep, deep joy, that satisfaction of knowing that you had lived this life this time around? What is your adventure? For all of us, it's different. And for all of us, it's unique, and yet for all of us, it's a very important part of truly knowing who we are in our world. What's your adventure? So if you'd like to give a call, it's 503-231-8187. I'm Marlene Howell, and this is Let's Just Talk. Now, I'm going to keep talking for a while until I see that Richard tells me we have 5 million phone calls all lined up to talk about what is your adventure. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my adventure. My adventure among many, I have many adventures in my life, and one of my most recent adventures is to regain a level of physical fitness that I haven't had in a while. And one way I'm doing that is by bicycling. Now, I haven't really bicycled in years, and so this is quite a challenge for me. I'm enjoying it immensely, but it is quite a challenge for me to put on my helmet, get on my bike and learn enough about the rules of the road to get out on the road and then out onto some bike paths and just, as they say, put some time in the seat or in the saddle. So that's what I've been doing lately. I'm not the fastest bicyclist, and I'm not the most savvy. I'm certainly not the most risk-taking, but I am doing it. And at this point, that is what is important here, that I can actually get on that bike. And I feel such a sense of freedom, like I'm living closer to my values and living closer to what it is I really want to do. So what is your adventure? If Anne Bancroft were to meet you, at some point in the conversation, she'd probably ask you, what's your adventure? And it doesn't have to be something to do with physical fitness. It can be any range of things. What is it that strikes the heart of your passion? What is it that you find as being your driving force? What is it that, in a way, almost gives you a reason to get up in the morning in terms of being your passion, your joy? So, Richard, do we have any phone calls yet? I'm not sure if we do or not. Okay, well, while we're waiting. No, Richard says no phone calls yet. Okay, so it's 503-231-8187. So let me ask you, here's another question. Maybe you can let me know. I want to take a little less than truly scientific poll. I saw a movie the other night. I'm not going to tell you which one in case you want to see it. I don't want to ruin it for you. But during the movie, one person told the other person this joke. There were two penguins on an ice floe, and one penguin says to the other, "I thought you were wearing a tuxedo." And the first penguin says, "What makes you think I'm not?" Now, I think that is a hilarious joke, but the person I was with challenged me as to whether or not it even can count as a joke. So when you call in, I may ask you if you have any thoughts about the penguin joke and whether it is a joke or not. Does it count as a joke? But it looks like we might have a call, so I will say hello to you, caller. Hello.
Hello to you, Marlene.
How are you this morning?
Well, I don't want to go into that, dear.
Okay.
I do want to say something, though, something I believe is important, but probably won't be popular. I think we need to stop being selfish and indulging ourselves. I believe we, the Americans, need to clean up all the pollutions, the mental pollutions, the psychological pollutions, the physical pollutions we have created in this country and the world. And we need to work and do something about patriarchy and classism. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, there wouldn't be a better adventure than that, the whole challenging of patriarchy and classism. Absolutely, absolutely. And the woman who sang that song that we heard at the beginning, Michelle Schacht, you know, she is quite a staunch political activist in many ways. And she has a song she always does at her concerts. It goes, "Joy, joy, joy, hallelujah, you can't take my joy from me." And the whole idea of that song, of course, is that, you know, you never let those that would silence you take from you what it is that keeps you going. So as you're challenging patriarchy and classism, the pain of patriarchy and classism, as you're challenging the so many ways that they make themselves real in our lives, and as you challenge them with creativity and compassion and intelligence, you never let those who would silence us take our joy from us. So thank you, caller, and good morning. I hope your morning gets off to a better start. Sounds like things were a little rocky there. And we've got another caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's your adventure?
Well, my adventure is that I've had cancer four times. I'm in my fourth battle with cancer. And anyway, it's given me an appreciation for valuing each day. And right now I'm supporting my partner, Joe Keating, who's running for the Green Party, a candidate running for governor of Oregon. And I just am really blessed to be able to do that work and to help try to protect Oregon, it's such a beautiful place that we live in. And just hoping everybody gets out and supports some changes so that we can keep our state as beautiful as it is and really live a high quality of life that we live here. So.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations to you for being such a staunch survivor and so determined to keep moving, and that you have something so meaningful as this upcoming political race. So are you ready for it?
I am, and I'm just doing what I can. He doesn't expect any more than that, and I'm not doing any more than that, but I think it's the greatest gift I've had is to have cancer four times because it gives me an appreciation for every day I live and every moment, try
Absolutely.
To make every moment count.
Absolutely. So. It doesn't sound like you let anybody take those from you.
And good luck with that bicycling. I've been swimming, and that's my way to get back in shape, and I think that's real important, too. So
you.
Keep up that bicycling.
Okay.
Hope to see
thank
you out
you.
On the road.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so there we have it. There we have it already this morning. Two women calling, one saying, you know, never forget that we have to live lives of challenging patriarchy and classism and, of course, the other forms of oppression as well. Absolutely we do. And then our second caller talking about as a cancer survivor, learning to appreciate each and every day that she can get up and do more of what she is here to do in the world. So if you'd like to join the conversation and talk about what's your adventure, the number is 503-231-8187. I'm Marlene. This is Let's Just Talk, and we're talking about what's your adventure. Now that opening song, Michelle Schock, the Strawberry Jam song. Okay, she talked about, my gosh, if we all got together and made our own jam, we could close down the corporations. Now, of course, you know, she's not just talking about jam there, folks, but that's the beauty of Michelle Schock. She's really just talking about what she's talking about. And that's even some of the fun. But Michelle Schock always sings about, you can't take my joy from me. So, what's your adventure? And Bancroft asking school children, what's your adventure? And making sure that they realize that many of the obstacles in our path are, in fact, important obstacles to address, but are often human-created. And if they are human-created obstacles, what I like to refer to as political obstacles, they can also be human-uncreated, or as we say in my field of study, women's studies, deconstructed. Okay, and we can create paths to creating our dreams into reality rather than being stopped by the obstacles. And we've got another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Jorge from Vancouver. I just called to tell you about a story that just happened to me about my wife. She just went over to Mexico to get her visa.
Okay.
And they kept her. They kept her for between six and 8 months. And, well, I need her over here, and, I mean, what we have to do then? Just wait, or they want me to send them a letter telling them? What will it affect me as a United States citizen? What will it affect me personally if she's not here? I mean, gosh, it's... Somebody help me on that one.
They may be wanting some type of further proof that she's actually married, but I don't know. It sounds like they're giving her a lot of red tape. You'd probably do well to contact an immigration lawyer who could really help you out and give you some ideas of what's possible. Have you done that yet, Jorge?
Well, not yet. I'm just waiting to get the right one because I just don't trust any lawyer.
Right. No, I understand that, but it's a very tricky type of law, especially nowadays, and it's really important to get good, sound advice about what's an option regarding your wife. I'm sorry, is she safe?
Well, yeah, she's okay. She's safe.
She's
but
safe.
The thing is that, I mean, she's needed up here, and just because of whatever security they have in there,
mm-hmm.
they make things difficult for us.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. Well, I think there are also some organizations that address immigration rights issues that you may want to contact because I'm certainly no expert in that area, but you certainly need somebody who knows how to work through the red tape to help you out.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Congratulations for your program.
Thank you, and best wishes for both of you.
Okay,
well, another example of how the immigration issue touches our everyday lives and in very real ways. But I certainly can't be on the radio giving any kind of legal advice. I certainly don't know what the road would be to addressing that situation, but I always encourage people to get in contact with folks who do know the rules and do know how to play the system, because that's one way to get through all of those obstacles, and we know that they are greater and greater all the time, especially since the rise of the Sensenbrenner bill and all of the political activism that has been challenging that particular bill. And, of course, then our own Peter DeFazio voting for it and then making excuses about that before he spoke at the PSU graduation. So it's always enough to get up 4 in the morning and wash your hands, splash some water on your face, dust off your shoes or sandals, and get moving. So this is Marlene Howell. It's Let's Just Talk. And the question is, what's your adventure? What drives you? What is your passion? What is it you would like to think about at the end of your life as being the signature piece of the fact that you were here on this earth? What is it that is you? All right, Richard says that's heavy. It doesn't have to be heavy. An adventure can be a lot of fun, you know, just like making strawberry jam, as Michelle Schock talked about, right? The number is 503-231-8187. It seems like lots of people are a little sleepy this morning. For some of us, it's a holiday, a longer holiday weekend, and other people are off getting ready to a day of work, if you are a worker. There is a shout-out I do want to give this morning, and that is to anybody who is a caregiver. Caregiving is often not very well recognized and so very, very important. And whether you are a caregiver, you know, in a facility, or you are a caregiver at home, perhaps you are living with an elderly parent or somebody who is in need of that kind of help, or you're in a different kind of situation, this is a shout out to you, because that is very difficult work, and certainly brings with it many, many rewards, and certainly brings with it as well many, many challenges. And so if you are a caregiver, this is a big shout out to you this morning. So it's 503-231-8187. The question is, what's your adventure? This is Marlene Howell, and we are on KBOO Radio. Hoping you'll call and talk about what is it that you are interested in doing? What is it that is really what is deep in your heart? What is it that gives you joy? What gives you an interest? You know, for all of us, it is something different. But the fact is, as human beings, we all are driven, and we all do have an adventure or a dream. And I'm in the field of women's studies, and one of the things I like to make sure of is as we pursue and learn more about the politics of patriarchy, classism, racism, etc., that we never let our joy get taken from us, and we never let our capability for being creative get taken from us, and that we always use our humor as one of that we realize we have our humor in our toolbox of tools for change. So you got to give me a call and chat with me, or you're going to be listening to me the whole hour. And the number is 503-231-8187. It'll be a lot more fun if we have some conversation. So give me a call. We've had a woman who survived cancer 4 times already call in this morning and say through that experience she has learned to embrace each and every day. And she's very active in the political scene here in Oregon. So what's your adventure? 503-231-8187. And no one yet has called in to tell me what they think about that penguin joke. Is it a joke? Okay, Richard says he missed it, so I guess I need to say it one more time. Well, it's a joke that is used in a movie, but I'm not going to tell you which movie, so if you go to see it, I don't want it to be ruined for you. Two penguins are on an ice floe, and one says to the other, "Oh, I thought you were wearing a tuxedo." And the first one says, "What makes you think I'm not?" Now, I think that's a hilarious joke, but the person I was with didn't seem to think so. So when you call, if you want to weigh in on the penguin joke, that would be great as well. 503-231-8187. And Richard says we have a caller. Caller, you are right on the air. No waiting today.
Hi. I guess I was thinking about adventures being huge and expensive. My adventures have always been adventures of watching. I've always been a watcher.
Okay.
And it's because it doesn't cost anything.
There you go.
I've never had any money to do what the lady did when she went to the, was it the Arctic?
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
So my watching's been, when I was young, I lived on the beach. Our house was
really
on the sand.
Wow.
It was a rickety old $100 a month rental,
mm-hmm.
sitting on top of rocks. And for about the first 8 years of my life, I sat on the little porch and watched the ocean.
Well, there you
and
go.
And was absolutely fascinated with everything that the ocean brings and what everything that flies over the ocean. Right now, I'm 61 now, and my watching is this was in California when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Now I live inland, and
okay.
so I bicycle in my valley every day.
Well, good for you.
And I watch. I go through little valleys mm-hmm. on a windy road, and there aren't any houses. So I watch the red-tailed hawks,
oh,
and it's my
yeah.
biggest adventure. I love to watch the way they ride the air currents and watch the little varmints that they're watching and hunting for across the road. It's just an amazing whole system of nature and the adventures in the watching. I'm a watcher.
Well, good for you. Sounds like you're not only a watcher, you really observe things, don't you? You really notice.
I love nature.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're very close to it.
And it doesn't cost a penny to observe.
No. And it teaches us a lot about ourselves, doesn't it?
Oh, I think nature's what everyone's heart is missing.
There you go.
You know,
there
if we had
go.
More nature in our heart, we wouldn't, you know, people like George Bush wouldn't be in office.
Well,
maybe.
There you go. There's a lot to be said for that.
I think if all the cars were gone and we had to walk and there was better mass transit,
mm-hmm.
That we would be able to have a space for nature in our hearts. Right
yes.
now we're all about freeways and cars and time and
mm-hmm.
Worry and cancers. I've had cancer too. And
really?
It's about taking on being exposed to the pollutions that
yes.
are set out there by larger corporations. That's what a lot of cancers are about.
That's very true.
And also stress from the terrible political things, things like our country does to other countries.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, having an adventure, having a dream.
I know. My adventures with my bicycle are just, I just hop on my bicycle and, you know, I'm out and away. You know,
there
I'm
you
just
go.
Away from all that. I'm
yeah.
with the red-tailed hawks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
I've been noticing a bit of that as I ride my bike too. And
it's just amazing. And you also get to see the seasons every day.
That's true, isn't it?
Turn into each. I mean, they. It's like a page turning, and by the time you get to the end of the book, the year has gone by, and you're in. Starting the seasons again. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Nature, there's so much to look at. It's an adventure.
Oh, it is absolutely an adventure. And, you know, having an adventure doesn't really have to be about having a lot of money. It's really
no.
more of a mindset, isn't it?
You don't need 3 yachts to have an adventure.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not
no.
at all. It's just kind of how you
But a bicycle helps.
Yeah, a bicycle, if you can ride one, a bicycle certainly certainly
I've been,
one way to have one.
Yeah. Well, I'm 61, and I plan to keep riding it till I can't walk.
Well, there you go. There you go. I'm sure you're giving a lot of people in our listening audience a lot of encouragement this morning just by hearing that story about, you know, being a careful watcher and observer of nature and finding yourself really connected to it.
I'm lucky that I do have a valley. Actually, it's many valleys that I can ride through because
uh-huh.
I'm up in the Coast Range. I'm up on logging roads. And
oh,
I
wow.
go down into the valley and just ride the roads until they stop and become those big yellow bars that
mm-hmm.
keep you out of. They're the lumber companies. They're those big bars that have the road blocked.
Right.
Yeah, I go that far and then just
okay.
come back. It's just, it's, if I wish more people in the city could get out into those areas where there are less people and less cars,
yeah.
so that they could observe nature, they because could. It's there.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is.
Not that going to the city isn't fantastic, a challenge, and, you know, just beautiful. I love the variety of vegetation that you find in a city.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find that variety of vegetation in the deciduous forest out here, especially in spring when you go into the city.
Yes.
You see all those imported trees and ornamentals.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
It is.
Spring.
It is.
Yeah.
It's an, it can,
everything
can
has
a nice
beauty.
Balance. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for giving a call.
Sure.
Appreciate chatting with you.
Bye.
Take care. All right, Richard, we have another caller. Okay, let's just move right on to the next caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
So what's your adventure?
I'm a writer.
Hey, all right.
And actually, I just had my first book accepted for from a publisher, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
Absolutely. What is your genre?
It's science fiction.
All right.
But where I really kind of have a personal passion is with zines.
Okay. Okay.
I've written a fair amount of zines, and I run a small zine distro up here in Longview, Washington.
Okay. Are you going to be in Portland in a few weeks for the zine festival?
Yeah. Actually, we're going to be tabling there.
All right.
I run Northwest Zine Works.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually our website is www.northwestzineworks.com.
Okay.
And I'm going to be representing actually quite a few people. I've got a bunch of new indie comics that have come in that are always fun to look through.
Well, there you go.
So I kind of, you know, I was listening to your previous caller, and I really like her when she calls in. She really is a very, very cool person, and I often learn a great deal from her. And being a writer, I have a tendency to side with her in the observational concepts.
Uh-huh.
Some of the greatest adventures I have generally don't cause, you know, don't cost anything.
Absolutely. They don't
you
have
know,
to.
You know, like I'll take my dog down to the culvert and I'll try to watch what he's watching.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And things of that nature that really don't cost anything at all.
Adventures
but they,
don't have to cost anything.
They're moments of your life that are
absolutely.
Really important.
I think that's one of those myths of living in a capitalist culture that you can only have an adventure if you have the money for one.
Yeah, it really is. I've been fortunate. I've been to a number of states in a couple of different countries, and it did take me money to really, you know, to travel to one of these locations here and there.
Uh-huh.
I have to say that it wasn't the money that brought me the experience. It was watching.
Yeah.
That gave
right.
me the experience, and you know, I look back at some of the zines that I've put out, and I was reading, you know, some of the older issues of one of my per zine, and I'm like, I didn't have to spend any money to, you know, to have these people interact with me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't spend any money to make these observations or to, you know, interact with people, and that's a big deal if you think about it.
It is absolutely a big deal.
You know, I think that if more people, you know, observed like the previous caller and maybe did a little bit of writing themselves and shared what they were seeing, I think that might possibly hasten the rampant consumerism.
Yes.
Because you know, and yes, I mean, it takes money to make things like photocopiers to put out zines and printing presses and things of that nature. But people that write zines and books and things of that nature generally are fairly frugal, you know, as far as being able to live well on very little.
Well, that's the whole kind of politics of the zine scene, isn't it? Not needing a lot of material wealth to...
Right, and that's a concept, you know, even... Even running my distro, you know, I'm looking at the entire stock of my distro packed into four boxes right now.
Okay, okay.
You know, it doesn't, you know, I've got maybe 150 titles here. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't take a lot, a little bit of organization,
mm-hmm.
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, no problem.
Well, there you go. Well, congratulations on getting published.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
Bye.
Oh, okay, bye-bye. This is... Radio KBOO in Portland, Oregon. The talk show is Let's Just Talk, and today we are discussing What's Your Adventure? If you'd like to get in on the action here and chat for a while, the number is 503 231-8187. We are discussing the Antarctic Explorer Anne Bancroft's question, what's your adventure? What drives you? What's your passion? What's your dream? What's your vision? What's your joy? And that is where we are right now. And it looks like we have a caller. So good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hello?
Yeah. So what's your adventure?
My adventure, I try and simplify things in life. Excuse me. And for the longest time, people stumble with the www.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about it for a while, and this is really the first I've ever mentioned it to really anybody, but why not swap that over and call that triple U to simplify it? Call it triple U dot.
Instead of triple W? Oh, I see. Instead of double U. Uh-huh, triple U. Huh.
Triple U, yeah.
Do you think it will go?
I don't know. Give it a kickstart. We'll see.
You never know. But, you know, U is already a letter. That might confuse some folks.
Well, if a W, it would just be the triple U.
Right. Right. No, I understand what you're saying, but it may take some folks a while to, you know, make that shift. It's hard to tell. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, you know, if you're giving the address orally, that mm-hmm. would simplify it.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Anyway, so mm-hmm. I guess my adventure would be that might that seed might sprout.
So you're going to try to get that seed to sprout. Okay. Well, I guess we'll listen and hear if it takes. And now, how are you going to go about that?
I don't know.
Okay.
This is the first attempt I really
first
made
attempt.
to talk about it really.
Okay.
So,
well, maybe we'll ask listeners if they have any thoughts on triple U instead of saying www.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, listeners, it's 503-231-8187, and we're talking about what's your adventure. What is it that gives you reason for getting up and getting moving in your day? What is it that gives you hope? What is it that you aspire to doing? What is it that you do that gives you that deep sense of satisfaction that you are being yourself in your world? The number 503-231-8187. I'm Marlene Howell, and we are on a radio talk show that we occasionally do here at KBOO called Let's Just Talk. There's no guest. You are the guest when you call in. So this is your chance to put yourself in the seat of the guest and sit across from me so I can ask you, what's your adventure? So join in the conversation. We've already had a number of people call today and talk about writing, talking about observing nature, talking about surviving cancer, talking about the importance of always, always challenging the obstacles put in our path through the political systems of patriarchy, classism, capitalism, systems of oppression. Yes. And we don't have to do it always just being sad. We can certainly do it with a sense of humor and certainly always with a sense of hope. So what's your adventure? What is it that you still maybe need to do before you are done with your life? What is it that will be your signature act this time around, as some people would say? What's your adventure? So it looks like we might have a phone call. I'm not sure. Richard just picked up the phone. I don't know if any of you have ever been down here to KBOO, but the booth I'm in, or the little studio I'm in, and the studio that Richard's in where he's doing the engineering, we have a window, and we kind of communicate nonverbally through that window, and Richard's putting a bunch of fingers up in the air right now. I won't tell you which finger he's giving me, but he's giving me a finger that suggests that maybe there's a phone call. So let's go ahead to the phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Morning. I just want to say I just loved hearing the person that lived out in the Coast Range and talked about observing nature. And I just got a little poem about a day I was out observing nature.
Let's hear it.
Real short. It was about a walk I took on Mount Tabor.
Okay, I used to live by there.
Okay. It's called Mount Tabor. Little drops of rain, soothing the soul among the trees. Alone I walk, probing the crack, into the heart of matters, where subtlety of the heart is all there is. Sorrow and gladness merged into one. When a tear turns into language beyond our senses, nothing lasts here. Raining harder, ducked under a tree. The language of the chickadee sings softly today. Pushing the orgasmic boundary with every flit and song. Riding the wave of existence like no other. Thank you, little friends.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Okay, looks like the caller has already hung up. But thank you, caller, for sharing with us the poem of your adventure. Okay, and right there at Mount Tabor, I grew up in the foothills of Mount Tabor, and so I know that area well. Okay, the subtlety of the heart he talked about. Okay, and we have another phone call right now. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. My adventure is to make sure that the progressive movement is completely destroyed. Because I believe that the progressive movement is a self-destructive movement. I see it as people who are, it's too painful for them to focus on or to look at reality. So they live in a complete fantasy world. And that for anybody, you know, I just can't imagine that anybody would see capitalism, freedom, as an oppressive system. It's just, I believe that the progressive movement is made up of, well, liberalism is a form of mental illness. So we need to take care of that.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Huh?
All right. Now, that was a very fascinating phone call. I'm sure that might actually drive a few people to pick up the phone and dial in 231-8187 to tell me what they thought about what this guy had to say. But, you know, I guess that's all good. I'm just not sure an adventure bent on destruction can really work, can really be something that is fulfilling. It may be maybe momentarily thrilling on some level, though I still fail to see how that is. But whether or not, you know, focusing on destruction rather than transformation is really something that would, we certainly know in the history of the world, and we certainly see today that there's certainly a lot of people who are bent on destruction, but whether or not that is really what at the end of your life you'll say, wow, that was some adventure. I don't know. I just have some questions about it on the kind of philosophical, spiritual plane, but I'm certainly not one to, know for sure. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here this morning. It's Let's Just Talk. I'm Marlene Howell. The number is 503-231-8187. We've had a number of people already call in this morning. And the one lady who called in, she lives on the Coast Range, talked about that she rides her bicycle on the fire lane paths out in the Coast Range, and that she has always been an observer because she doesn't have much money. She really, I think, touched a number of hearts. And then a young man who just was recently published and is a writer, publisher of zines himself, called in and talked about how zines are another form of an adventure where you can get your observations and your thoughts out without having to put a lot of money into it. So adventures are rarely about necessarily having a lot of money. And, of course, this question coming from the Antarctic explorer Anne Bancroft, who likes to ask school children, what's your adventure? And wants to make sure the school children don't feel that because of race or gender or other issues that seem so oppressive that they lose sight of what their dreams are all about. Because as she was dreaming of being an Antarctic adventurer, she was often told that's not what girls do. And in fact, when she started to raise money for her Antarctic trip, She was told by a number of funders who had funded men's similar expeditions that they didn't want to fund her because they didn't know, first of all, if she had been a success, even though not all men had been a success. And secondly, they just weren't sure how it would play out to their market share if it got known that they had given money to a woman. So there you go. When we talk about patriarchy, there it is right there. So hello, caller. What's your adventure?
Good morning. My adventure is to eventually buy some land and move away from the city and try to become self-sufficient.
Well, that's a big one.
Not have to rely on the city for power or water, grow my own food, to just get away from all of the rat race. It's tiring.
It is tiring, isn't it? It is tiring. So have you, like a plan in place to make this happen, or is it at this point in the thought stage?
It's in the thought stage. Okay. There's some notebooks started. We're going to some friends, all of us together, sell what we have and go in together and buy some land.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a few years.
Oh, sure it will. Sure
but
it will.
It keeps me going.
Well,
that's what's important.
That's the adventure, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so Richard says, no one else is on the line. I could have sat and talked with the woman who wants to get out of the rat race a little bit longer, but it sounded like maybe she was in the middle of the rat race from that background noise. I'm not sure. Was she in traffic or was she just having a little bit of background noise on her phone? Anyway, the number is 503-231-8187. Talking this morning about what's your adventure. Now, something interesting when we think about adventures, of course, is that the obstacles that are often in the path of our adventures or the adventures that we can have are often informed by the kind of political privilege we have as well. And I don't think that that is something we should be unaware of. I think it's an important piece of the whole thing. So, the whole sense of adventure. Who gets to have what adventure, for instance, would be another interesting part to this question. But Richard tells me we have a caller. So, caller, we are going to go to you right now. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hi. Are you there?
Yes, absolutely. And you are on the air.
Okay, great. About that capitalism. Capitalism is all about capitalizing on the backs of others. And living in a life of spirituality and consciousness doesn't forbid you from capitalizing on your adventure or capitalizing on a thought or capitalizing on work laid out, a foundation of work and labor, but to capitalize on the backs of the underserved and the abused. And we could say Nike, for example, has been fined multiple years for human rights violations.
Mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola, $20 million a year for human rights violations, $200 million a year for environmental degradation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of capitalism is that the kind of capitalism this man wants? Because that's the kind of capitalism we have. We have the kind of capitalism that they want to go and destroy our oceans now to find oil that isn't there. And what oil is there, they're just going to sell it off anyway for profit and leave the people that give up the land or the process nothing. And that's capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that we could capitalize and also be true to ourselves and true to what God or Spirit has put us down to be, and that is human beings experiencing a human experience or spiritual beings experiencing a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that this life isn't about capitalizing in the money sense, but more capitalization in the human compassion. Showing compassion for the people that can't stand on their own,
mm-hmm.
that is capitalizing. Mm-hmm. When you go and you lift somebody up, mm-hmm. and then you're lifted up in turn,
mm-hmm.
you have capitalized.
There you go.
And so my adventure now, though, is to raise a family in a capitalized, raise my family in a world that's where they can feel free to go out and succeed, mm-hmm. but also be able to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. That's right.
To live with what we are given and to give back what we get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm trying to raise my children, to end that capitalist ego trip that people are on right now. They're so caught up with their undersouls right now. They have no clue what day it is, what color it is. They just, they're so caught up with themselves. And all I ask for them to take is to step back and say, is this how I'm going to make my money?
Mm-hmm.
And is this how I want others to see me as? So, thank you for the call. And you guys, this is a great topic. Wonderful.
Well, good. And I really admire the way you are so consciously living and parenting. That's very admirable.
And yeah, so, I'm trying. And, I fail all the time. I get caught up with my ego.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And here comes some money. I want to really get ahead today. And it's like, but how did I do it?
You know, I tell my students all the time, the only time I make a mistake is when I try, and the only time I succeed is when I try.
Right. Right.
So there we go.
Well, let's just go off today and remember the people that are dying and suffering, not just for our capitalism mm-hmm. and our profits, but let's remember the people that are truly suffering out there today.
There you go.
We won our independence, and there's a lot of people out there that are independent but are suppressed.
There you go.
And so
okay.
Let's really go out today saying, I'm going to do one thing today for somebody else.
Okay. Well, that doesn't get any better than that. So,
take care.
Good luck.
Bye.
Good luck. Bye-bye. Yeah, the caller certainly brought up a number of good points in terms of the whole issue of being compassionate and thoughtful and, in a way, building what is really wholesome and good, and using that as a foundation for creation of a different kind of cultural construct. So I really thank you, caller, for taking the time to share that with us this morning. The caller before, the one who was talking about how he liked the way capitalism operates right now, et cetera, so on, maybe I'm just a little tired this morning, or maybe I'm getting a little wiser with age, but I just don't take the bait. And I often understand here at KBOO that we are, every so often in these talk shows, someone will throw out some bait, and I'm not available to be baited right now. So he'll have to call another time, because I've got important work to do, and I've got an adventure, and I've got some things that need to happen that don't include dealing with being baited. So maybe something for those of you in the listening audience to chat with me about when you call. And the number is 503-231-8187. It's Let's Just Talk. I'm Marlene Howell, and this morning we are discussing What's Your Adventure? The question that Antarctic explorer Anne Bancroft often puts to school children to encourage them not to let anything get in the way of what they would like to achieve in their lives. So, good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Marlene.
Hey.
My name is Leah Maka. I'm a KBOO member.
All right.
And I've been listening to you this morning as I pack up my house and my kitchen. I'm getting ready to move. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's a big one.
This is an interesting show. I've never heard this before on KBOO. But I was thinking about adventure,
mm-hmm.
and your comments. I heard the caller's comments about progressives and wanting to do away with
right the destruction. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for me, what I see is the adventure we're in is we're all in an adventure right now, and part of that adventure is to take systems like capitalism or socialism or whatever system and create options in them or change them in such a way so that everyone's needs get met all the time. And I'm talking about basic human needs like food and shelter and warmth and safety and love and work that is meaningful and protecting the environment. Those are basic human needs. We all need to have those clean water, clean air, soil that gives us good food. Those are things that we must have, and there are needs that we need to survive, and recognizing the needs of the earth. And I went to see Al Gore's movie.
What do you think of it?
I think it's incredible. And I was struck by two things. First of all, I believe he's doing the work that he was really meant to do.
There you go.
And second, coming from the political space that he comes from, the few things he talked about at the political level, the few things that he revealed, were very powerful and confirm a lot of what we have heard in other areas in terms of what the government and this administration is doing, not just this one, but past ones.
Mm-hmm.
So the great adventure that we're facing is right here, right now. We are facing at any moment all of the things that Gore talked about. We live here in the Pacific Northwest, and we have not had a crisis yet. And the key word is yet, because we are going to have one. We don't know the form it'll take. Could be an earthquake. Could be an economic meltdown. It could be some of the volcanoes going off. Mm-hmm. It could be high winds. It could be fire. It could be any or all or a combination of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a member of my family who many years ago wrote a book, a paper for a government agency about water. And one of the things in the movie that Gore focused on, which we've heard a lot about, is the melting of the ice caps, and especially Greenland and Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And what he talked about was that the seas would rise 20 feet. And one of the graphic things he showed is what that means to our coastlines. And, you know, this confirms what my family member has told me, that this, you know, huge changes are going to happen. So, I mean, Manhattan will be underwater. San Francisco will be devastated. Florida will be almost gone. The Hawaiian Islands will be, they're very likely have to be evacuated. I mean, huge changes going on. What does it mean here in the Pacific Northwest? Well, one of the things it means is that water from the rising seas will come up our rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that because we don't live on the coast, we won't be affected, but that's not true. So we're looking at water levels that will rise up to, as one environmentalist said, up to 14th Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, and so here's an adventure, and the adventure is to, you know, okay, so how do you prepare for this? What is it that you need to do?
You know, when we had the tragedy of Hurricane Katrina last year, in conversations with people about that afterward, I said a number of times the same thing would go down in Portland in a heartbeat, because the same politics are here in Portland in terms of who has access to being rescued or being, you know, or being on higher ground and who doesn't. When we talk about, you know, water up to 14th Street, well, there's a lot of poor people between Front and 14th Street, not only between Front and 14th. When I think about, you know, the politics of Katrina, to me it's not so different from the politics of Portland.
Yeah. I do believe we have a window of opportunity here. I'm involved with the Peak Oil, the Portland Peak Oil Group.
Oh, good for you.
And
one of my students is involved in that.
Yeah, there's a task force going on right now. And the city has signed on, and hopefully the county, and we're approaching the state. But so much is happening here to prepare for things. How do we prepare for this? My own project is called Paper Adobe. It's an alternative housing building using landfill paper. And so I've written a proposal. I'm in the process of getting it out to people and my next place will be to go to, hopefully to the city council, but I'm working, I hope to work through the Peak Oil Group.
Good for you.
So there's lots of stuff going on. So our challenge is how do we, you know, what is it we need to do right now in the moment? So I think it's here. Everybody's adventure, and it will be an incredible adventure. It's like,
absolutely.
There it is.
Well, good luck with moving, and I appreciate you taking time from packing boxes to give a call.
Oh, I needed a break.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. So, Richard, is there anyone else on the line? Okay, well, this is Let's Just Talk. The number is 503-231-8187, and we are talking this morning about what's your adventure. So give a call if you'd like, 503-231-8187. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Miss Howe. How are you?
Hey, okay.
Lovely to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes, ma'am. I am so delighted that you are on your bicycle.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Howe, I haven't owned a car in a decade.
Oh, you see, I'm trying to get to be like you. See, that must be the other piece of my adventure, to be like you.
Well, shucks, ma'am, I'm certainly no role model. But for me, it started out rather simply. I decided to give my car the summer off with pay.
Hey.
And I started to commute to work with my with my bicycle.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
Now, the more and more I got on my bicycle, it became apparent to me that that this glass and steel sarcophagus that I've been riding around with which isolates me from the rest of my community, is totally needless.
Yeah.
Absolutely don't need it.
Yeah.
My wonderful bicycle adventures have been talking to people, because there's a certain camaraderie amongst the bicycle community, and it's really just a wonderful thing. It sort of helps you bond with members of your community. And that feeling of like isolation in your automobile, just getting angry because some creep in front of you isn't moving fast enough.
Absolutely. Let me interrupt you just for a moment, please. Stay on the line. This is KBOO Portland. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, now. My latest adventure is, Ms. Howe, I am taking a class in hip hop.
Hey.
And I'm
who's your teacher?
I'm over at PCC.
Okay.
Over on Division Street.
Uh huh.
And I'm telling you, my first class started on last Friday, and I've been having just a wonderful time.
Great.
I've got 70 breathing down my neck.
Okay.
And I'm shaking and baking here, ma'am. I woke up Saturday morning, muscles hurting that I never even knew I had.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Oh, hey, I'll bet they get a lot of fun with you too, huh?
Oh yeah, they. My instructor points me out as the example.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Here's this man who's got 70 breathing down his neck, and look at him." So
there you go.
So it's just a great thing.
So it sounds to me like your adventure is embracing life.
Oh, it's just a wonderful thing, ma'am.
Yeah.
Consumer culture that we live in is so empty.
Oh yeah.
It's so meaningless.
Yeah.
My friends, surrounding yourself with a bunch of worthless crap, if you don't mind me saying, is not the way to live.
No, absolutely not.
What you need to do is bond with your community, support your community, support local business, support the folks in the farmers markets, and just bond with your community. And that is worth more than $1 million.
You got it.
Have a wonderful day, Michelle.
Hey, thanks for calling. Right. Take care now. Bye-bye. Okay, everyone. I want to do a little bit of announcing about the upcoming programs for this morning, what you'll be hearing on KBOO, your community-powered non-corporate radio station right here in Portland, and a few other places in Oregon. At 9 o'clock this morning on the Old Mole Variety Hour, Bill Resnick interviews Ellen Willis, author of Don't Think, Smile, Notes on a Decade of Denial. And the Movie Moles will review the documentary The Take about worker expropriation of factories in Argentina. At 10 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman interviews Andrew Gedert, the author of Healing Skin Disorders, Natural Treatments for Dermatological Conditions. Probably very important now that it's sunny and everybody's, maybe getting a little too much sun on their skin. At 10:30, Scott Forster hosts Monday on the Environment. He'll discuss war and the environment and bringing George W. Bush before the International Criminal Court for war crimes. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's guest will be Pete Seeger. We will hear We Shall Overcome, an hour with legendary singer and activist Pete Seeger. And, of course, you know Bruce Springsteen has just recently released a CD of Pete Seeger tunes. And I think it's called The Seeger Sessions, if I'm not mistaken. So all of that coming up this morning on Radio KBOO, the Old Mole Variety Hour, Health Watch, Monday on the Environment, and Democracy Now! So stay tuned right here. And then at 12, of course, we go live to the Waterfront Blues Festival once again. Okay, KBOO is the only station in Portland that has the whole Waterfront Blues Festival live over its airwaves every day that it's happening. So stay tuned. And I think we have a couple of more calls. The number is 503-231-8187. Give a call. Let's talk about what's your adventure. Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. Is it me?
It is you. Good morning.
First I'd like to compliment the earlier caller who was talking about consciously raising his children.
Yes.
I'm just so impressed with the whole tone of his call.
Yes.
And I guess that ties into what I want to say. My father was what I would call an ethical capitalist. He made a small fortune. He came as a penniless immigrant to the United States and made an awful lot of money. And I don't know one aspect of it that was not benefiting other people in the same process.
Mm-hmm.
He was an inventor and a salesman and managed to get orders for imported materials that he would have made in tiny villages in rural Korea and India and places. His orders were supporting entire villages. And he made a lot of money, but the people, everyone involved in the whole chain benefited. And it is not beyond the realm of the possible that capitalism can work with ethical behavior.
Well, you've seen it happen, haven't you?
Exactly, exactly. So my dream or my adventure is to follow in his footsteps, and I'm working towards that goal. I'm pushing 50, and
congratulations.
Thank you. It's in spitting distance from here.
There we go.
I'm in school full time.
What are you taking?
Public health, international public health.
Good for you. Where do you go?
Pardon me?
Where do you go?
Right now I'm online.
Oh, all right.
I'm doing only online courses because I'm also, I'm just one of those ridiculously busy people with 1,000 projects, but one of the things that is pertinent is I'm starting a small business making baby clothes. You'll see me at Saturday Market coming up in the next few months. And the craft show circuit. And what I'm hoping to do is very similar to my father's business, is getting very unique and high quality baby clothes produced in a small village in Mexico that I'm familiar with, and then bringing them to the United States to sell. And in the process of this, my kids work in my home business. They're 10 and 11 years old, the little ones at home. I've got a couple others too. I'm hoping that we'll be spending half of our year in Mexico and half of our year in the United States with the idea of ethical capitalism. You know, you can get for yourself and, mm-hmm. and meet your own needs
mm-hmm.
without stepping on anyone else's toes by actively benefiting other people.
Okay.
And I think it's so sad that capitalism has devolved to a point of greed. It doesn't have to be greedy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It certainly doesn't have to be what we experience now so much of the time with how the corporate structure is framed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping in the process I can bring some dietary and, you know, nutrition, education, some medical access to the same village, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of that
mm-hmm.
Is missing.
Well, you sound like...
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you sound like you have quite a dream already in the works of becoming reality.
Well, I'm guessing halfway to actually accomplishing it. In the meantime, I'm caring for my elderly mom,
I know what that's like.
Stay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a death. I love it. It's fulfilling as it is helpful.
Uh-huh.
And another reason that I'm staying in this area for right now, but raising children to see a world bigger than their own
That's right.
wants and needs, it just isn't that difficult. It's really
mm-hmm.
possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what saddens me is this very narrow look at the world that kids today are getting.
Yes, and very self-centered often.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. and the world is so much bigger than Walmart and McDonald's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of world out there. And anyway, I just wanted to mainly tie in with what the man earlier was saying. And taking action to let your children see.
Absolutely.
Okay,
well,
so
thank
much.
You. Thanks for calling. Good luck with your adventure.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Kathleen, our intrepid, what do we call her, manager? Zarina? I don't know. She's sort of like she's a goddess and I worship her, but that's beside the point. She just walked in a few moments ago with a little note to me. It says, update on the promos. So I'm going to share this with you now. At 10:30, Scott Forster hosts Monday on the Environment. His guest is Lee Zaslavsky of the campaign to help U.S. war resistors flee to Canada. So that's what's going to be happening on Scott's show at 10:30 this morning. All right, I understand we have another caller. Richard, do you want to plug? Oh, he looks like he's on the phone talking to yet another caller. So, Richard, can you plug the next caller in? It looks like he's going to do two things at once. He's a better human than I. Okay, good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, is it me?
It is you. What's your adventure?
Good morning. My name is Ginny Ross.
Hey.
My adventure is to go from being completely inactive politically to just about 50-50 half-time political activism and
that's
half-time
big.
Working.
That's big.
So,
what are you doing?
The thing that, of course, has unified us as progressives is the horrible regime of George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so since then, and since the 2004 election especially, I've been very involved in election reform issues.
Do you believe it was stolen?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, it goes back even further, and I'm sure that we've got many compromised elections in the past. But the thing to do, I think, if people wanting to find an adventure, is look to our own history and our own history of July 4th, even, and get back that revolutionary spirit, because we're right back there right now. We have to see what is happening and get back our whole Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and make it mean something again.
That's right.
And so that's generally speaking. Specifically, I want to invite your listeners to join this adventure perhaps this week by coming to a special screening of a movie that's going to be shown at Laughing Horse Books.
Okay.
On Wednesday at 7 o'clock, it's called The Terror Storm. By Alex Jones, and this presentation is part of something that we do weekly. It's the 9/11 Truth Group from
mm-hmm.
Portland, called the PDX 9/11 Truth Alliance, And what we're doing is we're trying to just blow the lid off this the fraud that is the official 9/11 story.
Mm-hmm.
So people want to look into that and are interested. A good way to start is to come to the event on the 5th, Laughing Horse Books. It's 10th and Burnside on East Burnside. And it's a terrific blockbuster movie. It's just come out. So come and join us and see that. And if you can't, we have a blog spot. If I can just plug it, it would be the 911. I'm sorry, pdx911truth.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And people could get involved in the adventure every week, or any week that they can.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling and congratulations for finding a place to put your energies and becoming active in the political process.
Thank you. Okay. And you know, you should tell people it's really a lot of fun. You meet terrific people, and it feels fantastic to finally learn the truth about what's really going on and then to do something about it.
There you go. That's the key, to do something about it.
Thanks for what you're doing.
You bet. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks
for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, we've got another caller, Richard. Okay, let's go right to the phones here. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
What's your adventure?
My whole life has been an adventure. And then I started a new adventure a few years ago. I got ill and became disabled.
Okay.
And boy, that's been an adventure. I've discovered a lot of things from it.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've always been one that, well, when I was 23, all of my family kept saying, you know, you're crazy. You have lived more in 23 years than most people live in 80. Mm-hmm. And I've now gotten to double that.
Well, there you go.
But since I became disabled, I've learned a lot. And one of those things that I've learned is the world is not set up for disabled people.
Oh, no.
Not at all. And housing is, well, pretty much sucks. So I have decided I am going to prove to the world, including the disabled, that we can do things that will knock everybody's socks off. I'm in the process of looking to purchase an apartment complex to run by myself.
Whoa.
For the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
With extra amenities to teach disabled people how to go out there and seriously do some kick butt.
Okay. Okay. Sounds like you must have a lot of energy.
Hey, you know, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. There we go. So when's the place going to be open for business?
I don't know. I'm still looking for funding. Well, actually, we just started that process. We've put the plan together and everything and looked for what is feasible for me to be able to handle.
Uh-huh.
And I know maximum 30 units, because then we're getting into, now I've got to hire people to do work that, unless they're disabled, I don't want to hire them.
Uh-huh.
And so 30 units maximum, and local. And to the point where people to whom are disabled can continue to function their full life without other people's interference. Because, you know, a lot of disabled people, I know I'm one, who really, I mean, nice people are nice people, but you don't always necessarily need to hold the door open for me.
Right. Right.
Just get out of my way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so and a lot of people who are disabled, they actually can do these things,
mm-hmm.
but they have been led to believe by those who have walking that, you know, oh, well, you can't do it. Let me do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Enough years of this, you start believing in the lies.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us should ever give up any of our power.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And for those who have given up their power, I think they need to learn how to regain it. And
yes.
it takes somebody from their own world to show them, you know, you don't really have to depend on other people. You can garden and grow your own food,
mm-hmm.
whether you can walk or not. You can clean your own house, whether you can walk or not.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
can have a job, whether you can walk or not. I don't care if the rest of the world doesn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They're wrong.
They are wrong, absolutely. And if anyone's going to prove that to them, you will.
That's
wow.
The point.
Wow. You will have certainly left a mark on people's lives by the time you're done with your adventure.
I plan on it.
Okay. Well, you'll have to call every so often and keep us posted as to how it's going.
Well, so far,
let us know how we can help you.
So far, everything is working fantastic. You know, I used to work in public radio in Houston.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
KPFT. And we did some great things. And that's one of the things I missed was, you know, doing those kinds of things. But then I decided, no, that was the past. There are other places to go in the future. That's yeah. That's a mountain already climbed.
There we go. Well, if you ever want to jump back in, you know, there's KBOO. We would welcome your involvement.
My husband is constantly saying that. He says, you listen, you contribute anonymously. Why don't you just go down there and do the job? I'm like, no. I already did that. Time to do something else.
Okay.
But you guys, you do a great job.
Well, thank you.
You do us proud.
We enjoy it. Okay, well, go out there and have that adventure. Get that apartment complex up and running, huh? Oh, did we miss? Hung up already. Okay, well, good luck to you, listener. I hope to hear more about the adventure of the apartment complex. Okay, Richard says, uh-oh. Hello, are you on the air?
Hello.
Okay, good morning. What's your adventure?
What's my adventure?
Yeah.
Well, actually, my adventure is to probably to get black people to stop celebrating the 4th of July.
Well, there you go.
You know, I think, as I'll be talking to people close to me, tomorrow there's going to be a lot of black people out there participating,
mm-hmm.
Buying firecrackers and all that other nonsense, mm-hmm. celebrating a day that, in fact, I think makes them look silly, ridiculous, because, we ain't free. And, of course, there's a lot of people in America ain't free, but particularly us, we ain't free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my adventure is to wake people up from this big fantasy world that somehow, because we live in America, that somehow there's this great experiment in democracy is working, and it's not working.
No, it's not working at all. I'm not sure it was ever meant to work, frankly, but that's my personal opinion.
Well, see, there goes the rub, though, because, I heard this one lady, and I'm not going to, shatter her dreams, but she talked about this somehow. There's a benevolent capitalism, and the whole nature of capitalism is not designed to be benevolent. You can't be,
mm-hmm.
you got to make a profit. You know, you can't start a business or be successful in business unless it's making a profit, and you can't make a profit unless you're exploiting somebody, because that's the whole nature of it. You have to gain,
mm-hmm.
and you can't gain on anybody unless you buy low, sell high, and that's right there. That's a contradiction in being benevolent. You can't be benevolent, and so capitalism is not a benevolent animal, not at all. You must have exploitation, you must have imperialism, you must have all the other things. You must have soldiers on foreign soil doing certain things so the system can work here at home.
Well, how about a small business that, say, has a 5-10% markup on its items, enough to employ a couple of people and stay afloat? Would you consider that oppressive as well?
Yes. Because first of all, the business is going to be founded upon land that's stolen, and the business is going to be utilizing materials that is stolen. I mean, most of the materials that pass through the hands of businesses in America comes from other countries.
Okay.
I mean, there's very little stuff here mm-hmm. in America that is uniquely American. So, I mean, let's just face it. Everybody in America is in possession of stolen goods. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I don't know.
No question about that.
No question about it. So that means that we're all aiding and abetting.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how can you justify that? I mean, to me, a crime is a crime. And I don't care. Legitimized illegitimate operation. That's the fantasy.
That's the perpetrating a fraud piece.
We're perpetrating a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I know everybody said, well, I got a right to live. Yeah, you got a right to live. But the bottom line is that if we're going to do things, let's do it right. First thing to do is if you can't give the Indians back their land, then give them more compensation. And compensate black people, you know, for all the slavery we done, all the years of hard work we done. Give us some reparation. I very rarely do I hear so-called progressives speaking on reparations. I really do. I don't hear that very much. I listen to your station all the time.
Yeah, I think we've talked before. I think we've met, actually.
Me and you met?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay, okay. We probably did meet, though. Okay, so that's basically where I'm coming from. And the last lady, I can relate to her. I'm handicapped, too, not physically in the sense that, you know, but my color in America makes me, puts me in a category of being handicapped, you know, seriously.
Well, I wish you well on the 4th of July piece. You know, even if you, you know, even if you got half a dozen folks to say no to 4th of July, that would be quite an accomplishment.
Well, they're going to be, you know, I'm sure that my relatives tomorrow and people I'm going to be around tomorrow, they're probably going to look at me as being odd because they're going to be out, you know, eating barbecue and fireworks and celebrating and stuff. And I'm going to be sitting there looking at them really weird, like, you know, what are you doing? Because this ain't your day. You know, so it's like that whole thing back in the day when the slave master got sick. The slaves say, "Master, we sick today." And so that's the 4th of July reminds me of that, when I see black people doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway.
There's a famous feminist writer, Adrienne Rich, who talks about contributing to your own demise or contributing to your own annihilation.
Right, right.
That sounds like what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. But anyway, you have a good one.
Hey.
Boo, y'all keep up the good fight.
I'm glad you're calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Okay. All right. So the last caller wants to try and get at least a few black people to refuse the 4th of July on principle and on history and understanding that it's never been about the freedom of black people. So I wish him well in that endeavor. Okay, Richard says we've got another call. We've got, this may be the last call. I'm not sure how many do we have lined up there, Richard? This is the last one? Okay, we'll make this the last one. And then we're going to hear a little bit more Strawberry Jam by Michelle Schacht. But caller, you've got a few minutes here, so let's let it roll. What's your adventure?
Okay, I have lots of adventures in my life, just many, many. And one is that I'm looking at my wax plant, which has bloomed.
Hey, those are so beautiful.
Yeah, they're just absolutely perfect, and they're four beautiful, beautiful blooms. And I nursed this plant. I've had it for years, and occasionally it will bloom for me. But it's very independent. And so I that gives me a great good feeling about the day and the times. And
absolutely.
And I have had the privilege of going to China. I went to China. That was the joy of my life, to go to China. And I felt like I'd been there before.
Really?
And then we were able to go down the middle fork of the Salmon River in Idaho.
Oh, I know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and it took about 4 or 5 days. I'm not sure. It was
a raft
quite
trip?
A long time ago. I've never forgotten that.
On a raft.
What?
On a raft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rafting down the middle fork of the Salmon River, and that was a great joy. And I think that when I'm thinking of exciting things that have happened to me in my life and privileges that I've had to be able to open my eyes and see, it just makes my life wonderful. And it was good of you to have this program this morning.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm just very, very thankful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call.
Good. Well, it was good of you to be on this morning, accepting all these different ideas. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. Hey, thanks. You have a good day. Thanks for calling.
You too.
Okay. Well, I think that's a wrap for Let's Just Talk for today, July 3rd. I'm Marlene Howell, and we've been talking about What's Your Adventure? The question that Antarctic explorer Anne Bancroft puts before school children to encourage them to never lose sight of their dreams, even when there are seemingly endless obstacles in the path. We're going to go out now with a little bit of a Strawberry Jam by Michelle Schacht. Thanks, listeners. Take care. Bye-bye.
Saturday morning found me itching to get on over to my grandma's kitchen.
What you gonna do, honey?
The sweetest little berries was cooking up right. And then we put them in a canning jar and seal them up tight. We were making jam.
What kind?
Strawberry jam, that's what kind.
Oh, the good kind.
Yeah, if you want the best jam, you got to make your own. We have Smucker's, Welch's, Knott's Berry Farm, but a little homemade jam never did a body no harm. A little local motion is all we really need to close down these corporate jam factories. We'll be making jam. Strawberry jam. If you want the best jam, you gotta make your own. Make that jam, Doc Shorehouse done. Everybody's making homemade jam. So won't you call your friends up on the telephone? You invite them on over, you make some jam of your own. You'll be making jam. Strawberry jam. If you want the best jam, you got to make your own. Go on, Jerry, let the jelly roll.
July 5th, Alternative Radio returns to the KBOO airwaves with the classic lecture, Super Patriotism, by analyst and author Michael Parenti.
We real patriots say, along with Albert Camus, I want to love my country and justice too. And in fact, I believe that the only way you can be a real patriot is to love justice. Because you can't love, you can't be patriotic to something that's unjust.
That's Michael Parenti speaking about super patriotism on Alternative Radio, returning to KBOO every Wednesday at noon, beginning July 5th.